All right, take your Bibles. Find, if you would, please, Proverbs chapter 20. I want to continue my series tonight that I began at the beginning of the summer. I believe the Lord is going to allow me to continue this series up till Labor Day. Then I will put it on pause and probably pick it up next summer once again. We've entitled this series, What Does the Bible Say About That? My purpose in this series is not only for weekly nourishment in the Word of God and to help us, but also kind of a library or a tool chest for you as you are out witnessing, as you are out communicating with other folks, as you come across situations, and sometimes you just want to know, what does the Bible say about this? Or somebody could ask you a question, and you could refer them to one of the podcasts, refer them to one of the messages, or refer them to the notes that you have as God has enabled you. And you can develop these in depth, and you can make these part of your personal study. But I just kind of wanted them to be tools in your chest. It'll be up to you as to how you use the tool. Kind of an interesting one that God has laid on my heart tonight. One that I have exposed in my own life and kind of been reminded of. And the Lord gave me permission tonight to teach it to you. And so I want to speak tonight on the subject title, What Does the Bible Say About Your Sleep? What in the world is that, Pastor? What does the Bible say about your sleep? You know, we don't think about sleep too much, but we don't quite realize the majority of our life that is spent sleeping. Do you realize that if you sleep 8 hours a day, that theoretically you are sleeping one third of your life? When you throw church services in there, it's up to 40%. Pastor, I haven't slept 8 hours in a long, long time. So let's take a little bit of a poll. If you don't get 8 hours, you're an angry bear. You can raise your hand for your spouse. That's okay. Go ahead. All right. Pastor, I need 4 or 5 hours and I'm good to go. 4 to 5 hours, I'm good to go. Okay. I don't know where you go between 4 and 5 and 8 hours. I know some have insomnia, some stay up nights. My sleep pattern got all messed up on vacation because in Michigan, it does not get dark till 10:30, 10:45 at night. I got pictures that I can show you of the most beautiful sunsets, and they're 10 o'clock, 10:15 at nighttime. So time everybody calms down, you're not going to bed till midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then you don't wake up until late and so on. And so, man, my sleep pattern is all messed up. And then when your sleep pattern is messed up, then your eating pattern is messed up. Between sleep and eating, I'm an angry bear, so here we go. Malcolm told me one time, he said, the best messages you'll ever preach are the ones you need the most. This is going to be a good one. I did not know how physically tired I was till I went up vacation. I got there at Monday afternoon, and I literally did not get off the back porch until Friday morning. And I never been like that. Sat there, watched the grass grow, enjoyed myself, and I didn't even go fishing. Now, you know, I got to be pretty sick or tired not to go fishing. They're shooting guns in the yard. I just sat there in my chair. And I had 4 children to do everything I commanded them to do. Bring me this, get me this, do this. And so, but I needed rest. Began to research what the Bible says about sleep. Breaks down your sleep into 2 divisions. There's the physical aspect of sleep, which we're going to talk about in a moment. And there's the spiritual aspect to sleep. Both of these aspects are practical for your life. And I want you to listen. Don't tune me out. I've never done this before, but if you fall asleep, I'm going to make a testimony of you for the whole class, okay? So stay with me here. Sleep must be pretty important to God because he mentioned it very quickly in the Bible. Matter of fact, sleep is first mentioned in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Right after God created man, the Bible says that God caused a deep sleep upon Adam. God used that deep sleep for a purpose. That deep sleep was important. And God knew that sleep would be important to humanity. By the way, for those of you that are afraid of anesthesia, for those of you who don't like to be put out or to put under, did you know that God was the first anesthesiologist? How do you think they knew what to do? Pastor, I don't want to be put out. Well, God put Adam out. When you go to Genesis 15, you'll find that God put Abraham out. When you go to 1 Samuel chapter 26, I believe you'll find it was David there that God also caused and had a deep sleep that went upon him. And so God used a deep sleep to perform surgery. I would rather be put to sleep than to be awake. And so the next time you go under anesthesia and the next time they got to put you out, you just remember that this is something that God did and God had performed. You know, the Bible says in the beginning of Genesis that everything that God created, God looked at it and he said that it was what, class? Good. It was good. And everything that God has created is good. And then, of course, man has perverted it or man has misused it. Such even be the case for sleep. Proverbs chapter 20. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse number 13, Solomon writing here a book about wisdom. Solomon writing here a book to his son to encourage him and instruct him in the way. And the command that he gives us in the first three words of that verse, read them together. Love not sleep. Now, he's not saying here that we don't enjoy sleep. He's not saying here that sleep is not attractive or that sleep is not something that we should not accomplish or have. I'll show you that in a moment. He's not saying that we don't need sleep. Now, I want to say something to you. I want you to look me in my eyeballs. You need sleep. You need sleep. If Jesus needed sleep, you need sleep. Okay? We read in the scriptures that even though the Son of Man had no place to lay his head, he still found a place to fall asleep. Anybody name me the most common place he fell asleep or one that we know of when he was in the what? In the boat. Probably had motion sickness just like me and went to sleep. So if Jesus needed sleep, you need sleep. Matter of fact, Elijah needed sleep. 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, you read that chapter. Elijah got to the point where he was ready to commit suicide. And the pressure and stress of life got to Elijah, compounded by the fact that he did not sleep. And you will read where Elijah begins to say very stupid things. He begins to think very sinful things. And he begins to have a little bit of a fit toward God. And as you read that chapter, you will find that God allowed Elijah to go to sleep. And then the angels came and they awoke Elijah and they did what to him? They fed him. And they allowed him to do what? Go back to sleep. They hit the snooze button and they let him go right back to sleep. Elijah, God knew, needed physical rest. Physical unrest is very dangerous to your spiritual success. Physical unrest is very dangerous to your spiritual success. Well, Pastor, I don't need much sleep. Yes, you do. Well, Pastor, I work 7 days a week. No one should work 7 days a week. Pastor, I don't take a lot of time off. You're putting yourself in a dangerous position. And so when Solomon here is writing to his son and he says, listen, don't love sleep. He's not saying that you don't need sleep. Read the rest of verse number 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And so what is he saying here? He's saying, don't love laziness. Don't be somebody who sleeps all the time. Don't misuse what God has given you. A person who loves sleep in a lazy position is someone that's going to come to poverty. Look, if you would, back a couple of chapters to Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon gave a great example in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6. Along the same thought process here, he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The ant, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy what? Poverty come, as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Solomon is warning here against laziness. He's warning against sluggards. He's warning against those that love sleep. Let me help all of my parents here, and your child is still in your home. Don't let your kids sleep long. Don't let them sleep excessively. Don't let your kids sleep the day away. I remember when I was back in my dad's house, Dad didn't really let us sleep too long. He would say something like this, in 10 minutes I'm coming in there and you're going to sleep forever. It's time to get up. Time to get up. Well, Pastor, my kid just stays up late. Dangerous. Dangerous. Get them up. That doesn't mean they have to get up when you get up, but that does mean don't let them sleep the day away. By the way, just so I can prove to you something, go to Proverbs chapter 4. I love the Bible. If you love the Bible, say amen. The Bible keeps me from being crucified. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the, please say that word, wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away, son. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. What's Solomon teaching there? Solomon's teaching his son to stay away from the people that run out all night. Solomon's teaching to stay away from his son to stay away from those folks that they stay up until they've done some wicked thing and that they are satisfied. And so Solomon is warning his child not to love sleep, not to be lazy, not to be sluggard. He's not saying we don't need sleep. There's a consequence to that poverty will come. And if you allow your child to be in a position where he runs with people that run through the night, you're letting them run in darkness. Help me with a verse. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Always be fearful of anyone who loves darkness. Now, Pastor, we work at night, fine. Pastor, we you know, there's some exceptions there, but the man that hides in a dark room, the man who doesn't come out in the daytime, a man that is just runs in the night, those are dangerous people when it comes spiritually, and you ought to stay away from them. Well, Pastor, you don't have to worry about me ever being sluggard or loving sleep. I don't sleep anyway. Well, there's a balance there. Most find, if you would, Psalm 127 while I set this point up. Sleep is important, and we need sleep. Most of our sleep is taken from us. I'm reminded of King Darius in Daniel chapter 6. The Bible talks about the fact that when he threw Daniel into the lion's den, that his sleep went away from him. When you study the scriptures, there's a whole bunch of things that talk about that drive away our sleep. Most of what drives away our sleep comes from fear, it comes from anxiety, and it comes from worry. And so these are things that Christians ought not to be under the influence of. Amen. And yet I find that a lot of Christian people, it's not that they struggle in their sleep. Their sleep eludes them. And I'm not talking because you're old. And I'm not talking because your pillow gives you a crooked neck. And I'm not talking about because other reasons you got to get up in the middle of the night. I'm talking about sleep that's driven away from you. I love Psalm 127. It helps me. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. Except the Lord. Let's just stop right there. Except the Lord. Now listen very carefully. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved, what class? Sleep. The psalmist is teaching us here that God gives his child, his beloved, sleep. The ability for me to know victory in my sleep patterns over fear and anxiety and worry is made possible because of our mighty God and his wonderful protection. Now, I said something earlier, and I want to come back to this point. Physical unrest is dangerous to your spiritual success. And so if I live my life under the burden of fear and anxiety and of worry, that is going to drive my physical sleep away from me. And you need your physical rest. And the more that that's driven away from me, and that sleep and that spirit of rest and trust, the more that that anxiety and that fear and that worry comes into my life, the more that I try to take control of my life. So I try to fix my problems. I try to protect myself at work. I try to provide for my money issues. I try to handle these things. And the psalmist said, listen, go out there and build your city. Stay up all night. Worry about every problem. Think about everything you can. But if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be sustainable. And so we have learned from Psalm 121, verse number 4, that we serve a God that does not sleep, nor does he slumber. And so he watches over us in his protection. He giveth his beloved sleep. But I must trust his protection and his provision in my life. It's one thing to be concerned about something. It's one thing to be burdened about something. I'm not saying you don't have nights where your heart is heavy and your mind is burdened with these things. But there is a vast difference between a burden and a concern than a despair of fear and anxiety and worry. If you understand that, say amen. Okay. Find, if you would, please, Psalm chapter 3. I got a couple of great passages here for you that will help you, especially if you have some difficulty in this area. In Psalm 3, listen to David's cry here. Listen to his situation. Verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He's got enemies. You ever had somebody as an enemy keep you up at night? Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and what, class? Slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And by the way, God's grace is amazing. And his sustaining ability is wonderful. And when I learned that it will be the Lord that will sustain me and the Lord that will keep me and the Lord that will protect me, then there's no reason for both of us to stay up all night. Amen. Psalm 4. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And my friends, your sleep is important because your sleep tells you where your trust is. It's fine to be burdened, concerned. I understand that. But the opposite of when that sleep is driven from you from fear and anxiety and worry and you trying to organize your life, that's you trying to be God in your life. And I got news for you. When you and I try to be God in our life, that's not sustainable. The best thing is to realize, like we did Sunday morning, that my life is in the hand of God. And God, you're either going to keep me or not keep me. You're going to sustain me or not sustain me. You're going to watch over me. And so I'm just going to lay down in peace under your protection. Go, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse number 21. Not only does God give his beloved sleep, and not only is that something that he gives as we rest in his protection that helps us and enables us to know victory over anxiety and worry and fear and all of that, but there's also something else that helps me sleep sweetly at night. Look, if you would, at verse number 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound what, class? Wisdom and what? Discretion. Now, when you go back to chapter 1 in the book of Proverbs, you'll find that this was one of the reasons he wrote the book. Keep going in here where we are. Verse 22. Speaking of sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be what? Sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, I love that, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. What is Solomon teaching his son here in Proverbs chapter 3? He's teaching him that sweet sleep is available to the person who lives a biblically based life. To a person who has sound wisdom and discretion. We know that to come from the Word of God. And so Solomon says, if you want sweet sleep, then you want to be under the authority of the Word of God. You want your life to be upon the Word of God. Do you doubt whether or not you're going to heaven or hell? Amazes me how many who you would think are strong Christian people worry about whether they're going to heaven or going to hell. If I'm talking to you and you doubt whether or not you're saved, and you have prayed 1 million times to be saved, or you've done all of these things, you don't understand the power of the biblically based life. You don't understand the power of the Word of God. So where do I go when I want to be secured in my salvation? The last place I go is to my mind. The last place I go is to my feelings. The last place I go is to some kind of event or something like that. When I want to be secure in the fact that I'm going to heaven and that my sin is forgiven, I go to the unchanging Word of God. Okay? And so, whenever fear comes to me, Tom, you're not going to make it this week financially. You're not going to make it this month. I go back and I say, the Bible says that God would meet all of my needs. The Bible says that God would rebuke the devourer. So my circumstances and my situations, you can say whatever you want to say, but the Word of God says this. When the Bible says that when the enemies come and say, we're going to take you down, when the lies come or when the threats come, and that fear and that anxiety and that worry begins to rear its head, where do you go? If you don't go to the Word of God, you will not have confidence. And then you won't have sleep. And then when your sleep goes away from you and you don't have confidence and you don't have rest, you'll begin to think things you shouldn't think. You'll begin to do things you shouldn't do. Sweet sleep is to those that rest upon the Word of God. And God's people should say amen to that. Psalm 132, look at verse number 5. Psalm 132, verse 5. Not only is sleep afforded to the person whose life is biblically based, founded upon the Word of God with sound wisdom and discretion, but in Psalm 132, verse number 5, David is in all, it says, Lord, remember David, verse number 1, in all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Now watch this. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Now, David is letting us know that the only thing that was more important to him than his sleep was serving the Lord or the spiritual work that he wanted to do for the Lord. And so David wanted to find a house for God to rest in. You know that Solomon ends up building this house. And so David says, listen, I'm not going to sleep before I get the work of the Lord done. Now, don't overtake this point. Don't make this an extremism here. But he's saying that sleep is not more important than spiritual work. So get out of bed in the morning and read. Get out of bed in the morning and spend time with the Lord. When I need this point too, because I battle this. When I roll over and there's that battle, am I going to sleep or am I going to spend time with the Lord? My physical body is lazy and it's wanting to sleep. The Spirit of God is crying out within my spirit, get up and spend time with me. Have you ever had that happen? If so, say amen. And David said, I am not going to go to sleep. I'm not going to exalt sleep over what God wants me to do. Now, church, as important as sleep is, anything that's exalted above God becomes an idol. And so there's a balance there. Yes, I need sleep, but I don't want to exalt my sleep over the authority of the Lord in my life. And we will wrestle that. All of us wrestle that. Where do you stand with that? Not only is sleep not more important than our spiritual work, go, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 6. Let me show you one more thing about this, and then I'll switch gears on you. Proverbs chapter 6. You didn't know the Bible had so much to say about your sleep, and that your sleep says so much about you. Proverbs chapter 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, that means if you be a cosigner or you be some kind of creditor there for your friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Now watch. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe or a deer from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And so what is Solomon teaching? Solomon is teaching that there are times that you need to get things right before you go to sleep. So he's teaching us about our sleep. The one thing is, you don't exalt sleep over serving the Lord. There's a battle there. David said, I'm not going to give sleep until I have done business with the Lord and I've served him, found a place for him. Don't take that to extreme, because you need to sleep. But he's talking about an exaltation here. Now Solomon is teaching you that there are sometimes you better not go to sleep until you make sure of your friend. There are sometimes you better not go to sleep until you've confessed your sin. Sometimes you better not go to sleep until you and your wife are ready to make out. Amen. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your man. So you're fighting, and you're fighting all stinking day. It's a sin for you to go to sleep fighting. Amen, Pastor. It's wrong for you to go to sleep when you know you've wronged your friend. It's wrong for you to go to sleep when you have unconfessed sin. Going to sleep at the end of the day is you not reckoning the behavior of the day. And God says, wait a minute. Now listen. If you can sleep sweet with a whole day filled with sin or wrongness, and you can lay your head down and go to sleep without any pricking of the Spirit of God, you've got a problem. And that problem is, there is no way God's child can lay his head down and sleep in peace if he's got unconfessed sin in his life. David said, if you're surety for your friend, which is a sin, you've snared yourself, don't go to sleep until you've made that right. Now, I know a lot of relationships that didn't have to be destroyed if they'd have made it right before they went to bed. Do you feel what I feel sitting there standing up here? It's quiet in here, isn't it? Bible has a lot to say about your sleep, and your sleep has a lot to say about you. The second aspect is a spiritual aspect. The Bible talks about this. Now, the Bible refers to death for the Christian as sleep. I don't have to do too much with this. I'm going to give you some verses here. You could write them down. John chapter 11, verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 51. Not only does it refer spiritually to the death of a Christian as sleep, as we await the resurrection of our body into a new body, but it also is a reference to our spiritual negligence. And the Bible says a lot about the church being asleep. And when he talks about being asleep, he's talking about being spiritually inept or spiritually neglectful. Not paying attention to what's going on in the world. Go, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Let me show you a couple passages here. We're not far from being done. I beg you to turn here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's the command that Paul gave the church at Thessalonica. Verse number 6. He said, therefore, let us, that us as believers or the church, let us not sleep. He's not talking here about physical sleep. He's talking here about spiritual sleep. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the, say that word class, of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. He's talking about spiritual understanding here. He's talking about the fact that we are to be watching and waiting for the Lord. Come, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 13. I have one more after this. Romans 13. Here's another admonition given by the Apostle Paul to the church in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. He says in verse number 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, speaking to the church that was not doing what it was supposed to do. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That's the coming of the Lord. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of what class? Light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so the Bible says a lot about our physical sleep, which our physical sleep says a lot about us. And it also says a lot about spiritual sleep, and spiritual sleep says a lot about the church. And so the admonition here from the Apostle Paul to the church was, wake up, look, be circumspect, know what's going on. This is not time for us to live under the works of darkness. This is time for us to put on the armor of the light. This is time for us to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to personalize this for our church tonight. Listen. You do not need to be spiritually asleep in this time in our world and in this time in your life. I hope you're spiritually alert and spiritually awake. Dad, husband, I hope you're spiritually awake as to what's going on in your home. If I had to ask you tonight to take 3 minutes and tell me what's going on in your home, sir. Just give me a synopsis of your home. Tell me where your wife is spiritually. Tell me where your children are spiritually. Tell me what your children's interests are, what they are doing. Tell me what they're into right now. And tell me some things about them. Could you take 3 minutes and tell me about your home? Don't fall asleep, sir. Wife, you're to be spiritually alert. You're the front line of that home. You know everything about what's going on there. It's not time for us to be asleep at the wheel. It's time for us to be alert and to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. Amen? I won't turn you there, but write Matthew 13:25 down. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 25, Jesus gives a parable there. That parable, you know, is a kingdom parable. We talked about this in the book of Matthew. And he's given that parable of the tares and the wheat. And he gets news from his, the master gets news from his servant that while men slept, somebody got in there and sowed tares among the wheat. Basically, there's a truth there of the danger of being asleep and not being alert, not being a watchman. That evil can happen. That sabotage can happen. And I am afraid that the church of Jesus Christ has fallen asleep. And while we've been sleeping, the wicked one has been sowing evil into our world. There may not be much we can do about our world right now, but there's something you can do about your home. Do not fall asleep at the wheel of your home. You and I have an enemy, and he would love to sow destruction into our homes. The Bible has a lot to say about your sleep, especially where it comes to where you trust the Lord. Your sleep says a whole lot about you. The Bible has a lot to say about spiritual sleep. And that spiritual sleep says a whole lot about our church. I say, let's open up our eyes and be satisfied with the bread of the Word of God. Amen? All right. Hope you stay up all night thinking about this message.